Hey, Clips fans. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Are you basking in the sun of being number one in the West? We are. It's a late night edition of Locked On Clippers. What are we calling it, Charles?
Locked On Clippers After Dark.
Locked On Clippers After Dark. It's Tuesday, guys. That means Twitter Tuesdays. We kind of got a little bit of a hodgepodge, mostly kind of some fan talk.
Mm-hmm.
So all Clippers, all day, baby. If you're new to the cast, we're Locked On Clippers. We're coming at you 5 days a week. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your Clippers pals.
Woo!
If you've already been listening to the show, we want to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by Tom's Urban, downtown LA, and don't forget that we're having a hosting party, a live watch party there. There's going to be some great specials. I think you can get a beer and wings for $15.
Who doesn't want that?
Incredible.
We got giveaways.
We're going to have giveaways. And we're going to be there, guys.
Come through next Monday.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, December 3rd, Tom's Urban, 5 p.m. Come at any time. I'm staying there till the bar closes. Coming up today, we have a little bit of a three-game preview. We kind of have some, I mean, they're not really bottom-of-the-barrel teams right now with how close everyone is in the standings.
They're teams that maybe aren't as necessarily thought of as elite, but could beat us.
So, and in case you're unaware, the Suns, Kings, Mavs. So we got a three-game preview for that. Twitter Tuesdays. And then we're going to get into a little bit of an NBA wrap-up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll also find out if we think this current win streak is sustainable.
Mm.
All that coming up after a special message from our friends at Metro Infinity. Charles, tell us about Metro Infinity.
So, if you're watching the news in Los Angeles today, you probably saw there was a pretty insane car chase.
There was. It actually ended right near my house where we're currently recording.
And I can't buy a car, but if I could, I would check out Metro Infinity. They're just off the 210 in Monrovia at 821 East Central Avenue. They're the only dealer in California that's family-owned and have been in business for 25 years. Honestly, the best part about Metro Infinity is probably if you don't want to go to the dealership, they'll just bring you all the stuff at your work or home, sign it, the car is yours. If you mention Locked On, they'll give you another $500 off your purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infinity or any car in general, give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Right now, crack open a hot Infinity Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with Navi for $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. Don't forget to mention Locked On for that $500 off.
That's a steal of a deal that you won't have to run away from the police for.
So let's get into this outlook. We go Suns and then Kings and then Mavs. Suns and Kings is a back-to-back.
Yeah, formidable foes.
Can we get to 16-6?
Yes.
I think we also can, but there's some issues against some of these teams.
All right, what do you got?
So the biggest one, I mean, the two key guys for the Suns are Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
I mean, Devin Booker, obviously.
We're big fans.
Huge fans of Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton, we weren't the biggest fans of, but he's absolutely crushing it right now.
He's playing well.
So for me,
I'm going to respond to this argument with nah and nah.
Yeah. So for me, if one of those guys is going off and then like Ariza or former Clipper great Jamal Crawford is really waxing from downtown, I think it'll be harder than maybe we initially thought.
I agree. I agree that it could be harder than we thought. I still stand by my nah and nah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going
to
win.
Reason being, I think that Trez is going to give Ayton a little welcome to the NBA treatment.
That'd be nice. I hope so, because, I mean, we have our hands full with any athletic centers.
Absolutely.
He can't really stretch the floor yet, though.
Yeah.
He has, like, kind of a reliable outside shot. Like, not outside the paint, or not outside the arc, but outside the paint.
Yeah.
And he's just a guy who can kind of go off at any time.
He definitely can. I think that the rebounding battle is going to be hard, but yeah. I like because he's a younger guy. Montrez still has some size on him.
Do you think they'll put Boban on him?
I mean, Boban on Ayton, that's a show.
That would frustrate Ayton, I think.
That's a show.
Like, he kind of shies away from contact. One of the knocks on DeAndre Ayton is that he doesn't get that physical.
Uh-huh.
So, and then Gortat's not going to do that.
No.
So I think
Gortat is going to get eaten alive by Ayton.
I kind of think that too. There was a nice Twitter user was talking about, maybe if we're going against the Suns, bring up Delgado and Motley. Bring up one of them. See what's going on.
Yeah, we're going to talk some more about these guys in our Twitter Tuesday segment. But
they have been crushing it for the Agua Caliente.
I don't see why we're not seeing some more kind of interesting rotations at the center position.
Yeah, because we keep calling up and back down Sundarius and Jerome, we called up Jerome, but he's not going to play in the Suns game because he's hurt.
He has a foot injury.
Which, like, I think on Twitter it said swollen foot. I was like, that doesn't sound fun. I don't know what happened, but it doesn't sound fun. But yeah, I agree. Like, why not shuffle around some of that center stuff?
Yeah.
Because Delgado...
They're both traditional size centers.
Yeah, Motley's a little skinnier.
Yes.
And they have Delgado play the four, which we'll get into a little bit in the next segment. But he could still... Like, Delgado and Trez would be an annoying duo to try and play against.
Definitely.
Because Delgado just hammers you on the boards, and you got Trez running around.
Yeah, I think offensively, it turns into a little bit more of a logjam.
Yeah.
Especially with the limited shooting off that second unit.
For sure.
So I don't think that that works. I don't think that they share the floor at the same time.
Yeah, it'd have to be a lineup of, like, I mean, Lou for scoring.
Yeah.
Shea?
Maybe if Lou and Tobias are both out there with Lou, some combination of Harrell and Delgado.
Yeah.
And then you can toss in Mike Scott.
Dude, you can always toss in Mike Scott.
He goes with anything.
So you don't think we're losing to the Suns?
I don't think we're losing to the Suns.
Do you think...
I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm saying...
Oh, for sure.
I think that...
Yeah, we don't think we're going to lose these games.
I think that we match up really well against that backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the... It's not a complete lack of shooting. They have some decent shooters, but I think that we're going to be able to contain them. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even really have like a real point guard, so...
Yeah, I'm interested to see who ends up covering Booker. I don't know if it'll be Bradley.
I think it'll be Bradley. He's playing so well right now defensively. It's like, just, I mean, I'm fine with him guarding anybody.
That's, I mean, you know, Devin Booker is still going to be good no matter who's guarding him for probably, what, 26 points?
God, he's great. Yeah.
but I mean, it'll still be a difficult night for him.
Yeah, we'll probably do the thing where we'll let one guy beat us and kind of pin everyone else down. Moving on to the next one, Kings.
Kings is low-key the one I'm most worried about.
Really?
Yes.
Why in particular?
I think that the Kings are, well, they're on a bit of a hot streak right now.
Yeah.
They're looking good. I think that containing that backcourt is going to be hard.
Dude, De'Aaron Fox is so awesome. Buddy Hield is having such a fantastic season. And yeah, I mean, if it's too offensively, like really high powered, like a one,
they're also
two,
sneaky kind of deep.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at their lineup, there's no one on that roster that you're like, I've never heard of this person.
Well, it's one of those teams. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. They're the kind of team that has the kind of veterans who are like, oh, we still want to show what we can do sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like,
definitely.
Now the Clippers are number one in the West, weirdly not being talked about very much, but I'm fine with that. I think they might want to show out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all three of these teams are going to be gunning for us harder than maybe any other team.
Yeah, and it's all Western Conference games, so it's like, I think...
And it's the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, this one might be the one that slips away.
This is the one that I'm worried about, because all three of these... We have some hard games coming up after this. We got
the Pels on Monday after this.
Yeah, we have the Pels, we have the Blazers, we have the Blazers, we have the Thunder, we have the Spurs.
God damn.
It's not going to be easy, and if we want to keep this rain, which I think we will. Currently on pace for what? Like, I think 50-some wins, 56 wins?
Yeah, I think it might be just under, yeah, right around 60.
Yeah, it's just under. I mean, if we go 16-6, we'll be on pace to win 60 games.
Yeah, which I don't think we'll win 60 games. That'd be great.
That would be insane.
The one hot take we got on the voicemail said that we were going to, Gallo was going to play 60 games.
Gallo
and
will
we were
going to
be the
games.
Three seed. Which, it's not far off right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Clippers fans are one for one on hot takes.
Yeah, we'll
as
see.
Of right now.
We'll see.
And then the Mavs, who are 7-3 in their last 10, which is pretty good. This is the one where they've been winning a lot because of their bench.
Yeah.
But this is the one where I think this one I feel the safest about.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with that. I think that Shea is going to have a big game.
That'd be great.
Defensively. I don't know about offensively.
You think him on Luca?
Yeah.
Dude, that's going to be a fun matchup.
Yeah.
That's low-key, other than maybe the Trae Young-Luca matchup, might be the best rookie point guard matchup of the year.
Definitely.
Because that was a really cool thing to watch.
Yeah.
That would be pretty tight. I would be really into that. Man, do you think they'll have who? Beverly on DSJ?
Probably.
He's going to shut DSJ down.
Yeah.
I say that now, so that probably means Dennis Smith will go for like 15
Bradley,
or something.
Bradley, probably not Beverly.
Either one of those guys can shut him down.
Yeah.
And then do you think DeAndre is going to have like a weird revenge game?
Nope.
All right. Nope.
No, I don't think so, man. I think that his athleticism has taken a drop.
Yeah.
And I think that...
His free throws haven't.
Oh, yeah. Those free throws, man. Could have used those.
Yeah, for 4 years.
Man, I guess he does physicality-wise pose a problem for us. I just...
Not on Boban. I think, like you said about the athleticism, Boban can stifle him.
Yeah, can definitely stifle him. Can definitely lure him into foul trouble.
Yep.
I do worry about the rebounding, I guess, but I don't know, man. I'm just so used to seeing DeAndre not locked in, like, as of recent. I mean, it's been a problem even on these Mavs teams.
For sure. He elbows Luka Doncic when he's trying to get rebounds.
Like. Yeah, like, elbows him out of the way. So, for that reason, no, I don't think he's going to have some huge revenge game.
Yeah, so we both agree we're kind of a little more
worried about it. Also, would be a lame revenge game. But who other than you and I would be talking about this?
But that's for him, I think, in his head, he's like, this is going to be my revenge. And it's like, well,
gotta show out.
You got $22 million, it's fine. So real quick, is the level of play that we have right now sustainable?
I mean, 58 wins sounds... heavy.
That's a lot.
I don't know, man. That's a lot of wins.
That is 10 more than my best case scenario that I was thinking about earlier in the season.
My best case scenario, I'll just come out and say it, earlier in the season was 43 games. Yeah. That we were going to go just over 500.
Yeah.
And still maybe make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Be in the running for it. I don't think it's insane to think we could win 50 games.
I don't think it's insane. I also don't think it's necessarily... level-headed, if that makes it, like, it's possible, but it's also like
50 games. You don't think we can win 50 games?
I mean, I think we can, with a question mark. Like,
it doesn't sound very confident.
Yeah, I'm like the teacher who's like, no, your kid's he's doing good,
he's pretty bright.
Actually, no, I think we could win 50 games.
Okay, so We've got a little fit, a couple things that we think. What do they need to do to keep this sustainable and to get to that 50 game point, or, you know, heaven help us, 58 wins.
Learn how to rebound more. Yeah, defensively specifically.
Rebounding would be nice.
Like, that's really honestly the biggest thing for me.
Yeah,
that's the biggest fix this team could make. Which I don't know. Also, how you fix rebounding. Other than like bringing
get someone. Traditional size centers,
yeah,
that like can play aggressively around the hoop.
Other than bringing someone in who can rebound, it's like, I don't know, bring Delgado up, like,
yeah, have, I don't know, have Gallo fight for more rebounds.
Yeah,
I mean, he's still averaging like 7, I think, a game, which is, you know, not bad for a scoring forward.
Yeah, and Tobias averages the most on our team, and he's our 3.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
what do you think needs to happen?
I mean, I'm gonna say the turnovers is gonna be a big thing. I think that honestly the thing that like we need to do just in general is like just keep that physicality up.
For
I think
sure.
that was the key to the second half of that Portland game.
Definitely
just playing a lot more physically. And I think that like when we can do that to elite scoring teams, they don't like that.
No,
they don't want to play that game.
No, they're soft, dude. Every other team is soft.
They don't want to play that game. And I think if we can do it smart without fouling, then all the better.
It seems like we figured that out too. It seems like earlier in the season we were both kind of concerned about how many kind of crazy, like, Beverly would get into like 3 fouls in like a quarter and a half.
Definitely.
Or something. And it seems like they've kind of figured out how to play defensively better. I think, like you said, they've just got the rotations and the communication down a little bit more.
Yeah, that's definitely there. And I think just, and when I'm saying physicality, I'm still not ready to see that this is somehow a defensive team or juggernaut.
Yeah, we're not.
But I'm saying just keep the physicality up, no matter what.
For sure. And then I like your key on here is keep Gallo healthy.
Yeah.
Like, they've been resting him, which has been great. Doc's been fantastic with his rotations. So I think that might actually be the biggest key.
I think that'll definitely be a huge key. It's one of those things that, you know, it's injuries happen, and like, it's, I don't want to say it's impossible to avoid, because it's not, I mean,
yeah, I know what
but
you're
it's
saying
pretty that. Close to impossible to like to yeah, avoid.
For sure. I mean, Luke and Bamute is still out.
Yeah. And I think another like X factor is going to be how big of a jump can Shea make.
Yes. I don't think he's been, he hasn't been asked to make one really yet, which has been great.
Yeah. So he's averaging about 26 minutes right now.
Yeah.
Per game. And he's at 10 and a half. Let's call it 11, 3 and 3.
Yeah.
The assist to turnover ratio is not great. About 1.5 assists for every turnover.
Yeah. That's not a good.
So you'd want to see that about three to one to like really be good. But I'm just wondering, is he capable? These are his numbers right now are similar to De'Aaron Fox's rookie year numbers.
Mm.
They were both taken at 12.
Spooky.
but right now, De'Aaron Fox is currently at 18, 4, and 8, which is really solid. So
yeah.
I think what I mean, and can Shea make the jump? I think the biggest thing I'm talking about really is the assists.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. He's so polished scoring wise.
Yeah, and like scoring wise, I mean, I think it'll just come as he gets more comfortable. Obviously, you know, can't be passing up open looks. We've talked about that a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as he gets a feel for the game and his teammates and is able to see NBA level defenses, which he still has not seen. I tend to get really hard on him for these turnovers and like just shitty passes.
He's never played
NBA defenses before. You know,
he's a kid.
He's a baby.
Yeah, he's a baby boy.
he's only played 19 games. So I think that when he starts seeing the game on that like binary one and zero level,
like
if
Nina.
You know what I'm talking about, like, then I think that like if that assist number gets up to 8 or 10.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be averaging a double double, but
who knows?
I think he can realistically get to that 7 range.
Yeah, I think
with this usage.
Yeah, I don't think that would be insane to do.
I mean, those are all. That's what we got to. I agree. Yeah, everything on there. We keep those things up. We can get to that 50 win mark.
58.
Well, maybe. guys, coming up after this, we're going to be doing a quick Twitter Tuesday segment. But first, personally, I am traveling out of sunny Los Angeles this holiday season, which sucks. And I do not have winter appropriate clothing.
Oh, no.
It is not tight.
What do you do? What do you do?
I mean, what I'm going to do, I'm going to check out Action Heat. They've got a special deal. For Locked On listeners, save 20% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything they have to offer, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to get 20% off your toasty warm clothes.
Ooh.
So, Twitter Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Kind of a fun one. Last week, we did kind of like a weird in-depth one about that weird medical study about late night tweeting.
Oh, yeah.
This was really cool to see. Clippers Twitter right now is in love with Jonathan Motley.
I'm here for it.
I'm all for it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he crushed in the G League last year. He averaged like 22 and maybe 9 or 10. Last game, he put up 24 and 10, was named the G League Player of the Week. Same week Tobias was named Western Conference Player of the Week. And he's just like, he looks like he knows what the hell he's doing.
I just don't understand why we're not seeing him at all.
Yeah. He's not even been called up once.
Yeah.
Like,
no minutes.
No minis. I mean, glad he's getting them. You know, for the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Yeah.
But
is there anyone currently that you're worried he would be getting minutes in place of?
I mean, my brain says Trez, but
I don't think so either.
I mean, I guess Gortat, but I'm not really worried about that.
I mean, I know the fan favorite is obviously Boban. You'd love to see play more, but I just think that Motley could have a little bit higher production.
Yeah, not efficiency. We're not saying efficiency. We all know about Boban's second greatest
Wilt efficiency. Chamberlain
efficiency. But yeah, I don't want to see Motley start games.
No, that's not that's not what I'm saying.
Like,
can't we just toss the guy 5 minutes or something?
The classic Ty Wallace numbers is what you're saying.
Yeah.
yeah, I like to see him get like 8 to 10 minutes or something like that. If it sucks because he's not getting even called up. So if it's like even a blowout or something like that. On either side, we can't bring in him to see how he looks in his NBA talent.
Yeah.
Which really sucks. I think especially it kind of frustrates, it's maybe more frustrating for this because he also just crushed in the G League last year. So it's like they know the talent is.
Yeah,
kind
I mean,
of
there was
there.
No way he was getting called up last year.
No, for sure. But this was when he was for, I believe, the Mavs G League team. But it's just like, you know, he can play well against these guys. Absurdly well, 22 and 10 and 24 and 10, and like he's just dominating.
Yeah,
and we need rebounding.
And if the numbers are half that, I mean, he's still
great.
Second best at the center position, if not the best at the center position on our roster.
Absolutely. Speaking of rebounds, going to talk about a Chuck favorite on the pod, Angel Delgado.
All right.
Six double doubles in a row.
That's insane.
With two of them with 22 rebounds, and the other one was with 19, I think, last game.
It's absurd.
Dude, like, this is what I was saying in that last segment about how, like, how do you teach people how to rebound? Some people just know how to rebound.
I think it, I think it's solely an effort thing.
You think it's only effort?
I think, I do think that people, I take that back.
Quick flip flop.
I think that people can definitely position themselves and, like, know where the ball is going to go.
Yeah.
I do think a big part of it, though, is just effort. And what goes along with effort is just size, you know, like natural ability.
He's a stocky dude, too.
Yeah, if you can combine that, obviously, with the effort, then I think you're going to be a great rebounder.
Because you think about, like, I'm thinking about that clip of Dennis Rodman when he played for the Pistons. Him and Charles Barkley were fighting for a rebound, and Dennis Rodman just keeps tipping it up. And this was when Charles Barkley, I think, was on the 76ers, so he's, like, in freak, like, shape mode. And Rodman's still kind of a skinny dude, but he just gets the rebound. Like, he just tips it up and just, like, uses his body, and it's, like, that effort you just said. Like, I don't know, man. Delgado's getting so many boards, it's, like, I want to see him get called up. I don't think it'll happen. I think the team's going to be playing too well to kind of call these guys up.
I guess that's the other thing, you is know? That the team, I mean, we're top of the Western Conference. We're probably doing something right.
Yeah, so it's
hard. But I still want to tinker.
I know.
I want to get in there.
Yeah, I don't want Doc fired like some people weirdly do. But yeah, I do want to see some, like, I wish these next three games were against teams that were, I mean, I guess worse.
I know, but what teams?
Yeah, like I'm trying
like
to
what,
think.
But what teams?
I can't even think of one off the top of my head that like I would.
The Pistons? The...
No, they're good. They got Blake and Deion. Like, yeah, I don't. The Hawks, I guess, but.
I mean, the Hawks can feel weird good.
Yeah, like there's no. That's what sucks. There's no whole. There's like no team where it's like, oh, you're playing the. It's not like the
Does
Suns.
Does it feel like the stakes
ago.
Are even higher right now?
For sure.
Because I feel like.
We're at the top.
Yeah. I'm riding an emotional roller coaster every morning.
Well, and every game has just been a heart attack, which has been great. Real quick, another quick note. I asked Clipper Nation, hashtag Clipper Nation on Twitter, if we should go hard after Durant next season. Universal yeses, which I was kind of surprised at, just because some of the hate Durant gets.
I'm going to say no.
Wow, why not?
I think that he's a great player. I don't really know how he fits in.
I mean, I want him at the two.
I love the idea of Durant at the two. I do think that it'd be good. I'm also leery of two situations, and either one of which will be Durant's contract situation. Mm-hmm. I'm leery of one and one.
Oh, yeah, I don't want that.
I'm also leery of giving anyone a max, given our past history with max contracts.
That's true. Yeah, the one and one, I would agree. I don't want to sign that. That's what I like about Tobias is he's not signing a one and one. If we give him max or close to max money, he's in it for 5 years or four, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable with that. I guess
the one and one is so annoying.
The one and one is super annoying. I guess I would be willing to commit to if it was a 4 year deal. That was semi team friendly. I mean, obviously he's got to get his money. I understand.
I mean, he's
that.
Getting the max.
Yeah.
Like, he does deserve it. He put up 49 last night, which is insane.
In a loss, though.
Well, yeah, but he's going to have guys. I mean, we'll talk about this. No one else on the Warriors, Klay Thompson put up 29. No one else scored more than 8. So.
Oh, they did. No, they did beat the Magic.
Yeah.
It was just close.
It was close. Basically a loss.
That's pretty much a loss.
But yeah, so I'd like him just if we could get him on like that 4 year deal or something like that.
I just think it'd be the best narrative for his career.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm leery of that contract. And I do not know that he's the best fit.
That's fair. I don't really have... Yeah, I just want to see him ball out. I think it'd be so fun to see Shea, him, Tobias, Gallo, Trez.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nasty. That was our quick Twitter Tuesdays. After this, doing an NBA wrap-up. But first, why don't we talk about that Tom Zurbin thing?
Oh, yeah, Tom Zurbin.
Monday, December 3rd. We're having a watch party, you guys, for the game against the Pelicans. Listeners will get a $15 wing and beer special. That's a bigger beer than usual, by the way.
That's awesome.
Happy hour, half off anything that pours, 2 to 5. Huge local beer selection. Come through. Check out tomzurbin.com/lockedon. If you can't make it that day, catch us there pre and post game anytime we're at Staples Center watching the best team in Los Angeles, the Clippers.
So, little bit of a quick NBA wrap up. As we talked about, the Warriors did, I mean, they beat the Magic, but it's kind of a loss.
I love this Magic team, dude. They're like weirdly so
what
fun
do
to
you
watch.
Love about it?
They're
you
such
just
a,
like to watch them.
They're just a bunch of goofy dude. Like, I mean, dude, Vucevic had 30 and 12. Terrence Ross had 28 off the bench. It's like the most random. Like, it's dope. I wish Mo Bamba was playing a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, they barely won 116 to 110. They were down 17 and a half.
Eesh.
Yikes. Durant.
That's that third quarter Warriors, you know?
Classic. Durant had 49, 6, and 9. Klay Thompson put
that's
up.
That's absurd.
That's so many, dude. Klay Thompson put up 29. No one else had more than 8.
Yeah.
Which
bit of a bummer.
Which wouldn't happen over on the Clippers team, Kevin.
So I just want to piggyback off this. With the Warriors looking, I mean, we're obviously tied for first in the Western Conference right now, and they do have more wins than us.
I know. I was like, how does this work out?
What teams in the West are you like? So give me one team that you're most afraid of regular season and one team that you're most afraid of playoffs.
Regular season, Blazers.
Okay.
Backcourt, Nurk, they seem to cook us every single time.
Definitely.
Playoffs, Pelicans.
Ooh, that's
AD,
a good one.
And if Drew's playing well, that's really hard for us. And Mirot, like those are probably the two biggest ones.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm going regular season. I'm still going Warriors.
Okay. Fair. Can't argue against it.
I'm not really going to count us in a playoff series against the Warriors because that doesn't really count.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to say most worried about in a playoff series, for me, actually, is the Thunder.
Oh.
I think that we could end up at that 4-5 spot.
Have to play Westbrook and Schroeder.
That would be
Adams.
A hell of a matchup.
That'd be a great matchup. Yeah, that's a good one.
But it'd be hard. But it'd be hard. I mean, I would be nervous every single game.
All right, we got time for one more game to wrap up. Let's wrap up the funniest matchup. In Washington, D.C., the Rockets' troubles continued as they crashed to a 135-130 overtime loss to the Wizards. Thank you. 42-point first quarter from the Rockets, 54 points and 13 assists from Harden, and 36 from Eric Gordon, and they lost.
I just want to touch on this 1 second because we're number one in the West, and we don't have the top-level talent that they have.
Nope.
Have guys that don't suck.
Have guys that don't suck. Their bench scored 9 points the whole game.
Yeah. Have guys that don't suck ass.
Not a good. John Wall had 36 and 11 assists. Brad Beal had 32 points. Markieff Morris cooked it off the bench, which apparently is something Wizards Twitter has really wanted for a very long time, and had 22 and 10. He was probably the difference maker in this. Rockets got a lot to figure out.
Yeah, they really do.
Guys, that does it for us in the Locked On Clippers After Dark.
Late night Locked On Clippers.
I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening, guys.